Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Diversify Your IBM Operations Decision Management Application with Bluemix and the Business Rules Service. The presenter is Uzma Siddiqui. Uzma is a software engineer who has worked closely with IBM operational decision management customers on technical resolution issues, during which she has gained extensive insight into how enterprise customers use these products and integrate them into their environment. She currently works with the Business Rules Service on Bluemix. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Uzma.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Kathy, for the introduction. Slide 2, please. In this talk, I am going to provide an overview of the IBM Operational Decision Manager and the Business Rules Service on Bluemix, and then list the differences between them. I will discuss when you can use the Business Rules Service within your ODM application, and then walk through how to use the service. Slide 3, please. IBM ODM enables enterprises to manage decisions in the form of business rules outside of a normal development cycle. ODM consists of two main components, the decision server and the decision center. In a typical development scenario, a developer will author a business object model and rules using the Eclipse-based rule designer, and later, business users will create and edit rules using the Decision Center web console. The rules are stored in a database repository and are deployed in the form of rule apps to the rule execution server to be tested and executed. Slide 4, please. IBM Bluemix is a platform as a service cloud offering based on Cloud Foundry. Graphic shows the difference from the traditional on-premises to platform or service as to platform or software as a service. In a traditional on-premises application, you manage everything about making a pizza, including the ingredients, the oven to bake it in, and serving it on a dining table with soda. In a platform as a service solution, you are only responsible for providing the dining table and the soda, while the vendor manages the ingredients and uses the oven for baking the pizza and delivers the pizza to you. Slide 5, please. Along the same line, IBM Bluemix provides services that can be used immediately by developers, by removing the overhead to install the services and manage and maintain the infrastructure. This enables developers to expedite the delivery of web and mobile apps. Bluemix also provides hosting capabilities for those apps. Developers also have access to IBM software in the Bluemix platform, as well as software from business partners, and they pay for the services as and when the services are used. Slide 6, please. This graphic shows the high-level Bluemix architecture. Bluemix uses software, which is a hosting provider, to deploy virtual containers that host each deployed app. The app can use pre-built services to make app assembly easy. To deploy apps, a developer can use the Bluemix user interface through a web browser or the Cloud Foundry command line interface called CF. Clients use REST or HTTP APIs to route requests through Bluemix to the app instances. These clients can be mobile apps, apps that run externally, apps that are built on Bluemix, or developers that are using browsers. Slide 7, please. The business rules service on Bluemix provides a way to ease the deployment and execution of rules on the cloud. It eliminates the need to install on-premises execution components like you would have to do when using ODM. It follows a pay-as-you-go model, just like all the other Bluemix services. Slide 8, please. This graphic shows the business rules service component. Each service instance has its own rule execution server, including the execution unit and persistence for rule app. The service instance also has a rule execution server console to manage the deployed rule app. As a developer, you first develop the rules and the associated object model in the Rule Designer plugin on Eclipse, just like an ODM. Then you create a business rules service instance through the Bluemix user interface. You can then deploy the rules in archives called rule apps from the Rule Designer to the service instance. When this rule app is deployed to the service instance, each rule set is exposed as a web service. This web service can either be invoked through REST API or SOAP. This feature is equivalent to using the REST Transparent Decision Service or the Hosted Transparent Decision Service provided by the ODM Decision Server. Slide 9, please. We will now list the differences between ODM and the business rules service on Bluemix. Slide 10, please. In terms of installation, when using ODM, you have to install the rule execution server, the execution unit, and the database to persist the rule, and the rule designer to design the rules and the object model. However, when using the business rule service, you only need to install the rule designer. As we mentioned before, each service instance has a rule execution server that provides the runtime environment for running and monitoring rule apps, and an execution unit which handles the actual rules execution and manages resources. Similarly, it also handles the persistence of the rules. Slide 11, please. In terms of configurability, whereas in ODM, you can configure the execution unit, including the execution unit properties and the connection pools, size and properties, and the number of connection pools. You cannot configure the execution unit for the business rules service. Also, rule tracing in ODM is configured through rule set properties, such as rule set trace enabled and rule set sequential trace enabled, and also using filters. However, tracing is disabled by default when using the business rules service. It can be configured using payload tags, as we should see later today. In addition, while you need to explicitly update the ODM installation to use the latest versions, the business rules service versions are updated automatically. So you do not need to explicitly update any versions for your business rules service. Slide 12, please. Features that ODM provides, but the business rules service does not provide, are the Decision Center, Decision Validation Services, and the Decision Warehouse. In addition, the Business Rules Service does not support the use of interceptors. Also, in ODM, you can use the Rule Execution Server console to test rule sets, or at least the input data you provide to them. However, you cannot use the same feature to test rule sets in the Business Rules Service. Instead, you can test the rule set payload using the Bluemix console without having to log into the Rule Execution Server console. We shall also see how to do this later on today. Slide 13, please. As I mentioned earlier, when a rule app is deployed to the Business Rules Service instance, each rule set in the rule app is exposed as a web service. This web service can be invoked either through REST API or SOAP. However, ODM also provides options to execute rules through Java Objects, Enterprise Java Beans, and Message-Driven Beans. These options are not supported by the Business Rules Service. Slide 14, please. Given these differences between ODM and the Business Rules Service, we will discuss scenarios in which you can use the Business Rules Service within your existing ODM application. So what we propose is you diversify your existing ODM application to also use the Business Rules Service in addition to the on-premises ODM installation. Slide 15, please. You can use the Business Rules Service to execute certain rule sets of your ODM application to free up your on-premises ODM resources. The prime candidates are rule sets that are already hosted through REST or SOAP transparent decision services on ODM, or rule sets that can be hosted as web services but are not currently hosted as web services, with the condition that the performance is not negatively affected. The user or the application should not take a big hit in terms of performance if those rule sets are invoked as web services. Rule sets that depend on the high performance that is delivered by a Java SE implementation, for example, would not be viable candidates. You can also deploy rule sets to the service that do not require configuration at the execution unit level. For example, connection pool's number, connection pool size, or the asynchronous rule set parsing property. Rule sets also cannot depend on the use of interceptors. So if your rule set definitely needs some configuration at the interceptor level, then that is definitely not a candidate to be used with the Business Rules Service. In addition, since the service does not provide a decision center, candidate rule sets are those that are usually developed, deployed, and maintained by developers, and are infrequently edited or deployed by business users. Slide 16, please. Also, in a development environment, you can use the Business Rules Service to quickly validate rule sets in development and test the client application without needing to configure application servers for your own use in your development environment. You can free up just CPU, memory, and database resources used by the on-premises ODM installation, and you can allocate these resources to needier resource-intensive applications. Slide 17, please. Now that we have discussed how we can diversify our audience, how we can utilize the business rules service within our ODM application, when we can use it, now we will discuss how we can use it. Slide 18, please. To use the service, you need to first design the object model and rules. Then create the service instance and deploy the rules to it. Next, you should test the rule set payload and then invoke the rules using the client application. You can then configure the rules tracing and performance. Slide 19, please. As an ODM, use the rule designer to design the execution object model and the rule. When designing the object model, make sure it can be used with transparent decision services. If the object model is XML-based, the classes are generated from the schema files. You should associate the schema files with the package name for the classes. Also, use the rule designer to control which dependencies are added to the RailChat archive to limit the size of the execution object model. You should also configure the size of the execution pool of XML document drivers through the rule set property XML document driver pool max size. The default setting is 1, and this might cause a performance bottleneck if several clients run a rule set concurrently. So you should increase the value to the number of concurrent executions of the rule set. For example, set it to 5 if you have 5 concurrent clients. Note that these recommendations are similar to any recommendations for your ODM applications if you are working with an XML execution object model. Slide 20, please. If you use a Java object model, the schema is generated through JAX degeneration and add it to the WADL or WSDL file for your rule set. So when using JAXD, there are certain things you need to be aware of. If you want a class's private attributes to be added to the WADL or WSDL file, it should either have public setters and getters in the Java class, or you can add JAXD annotations to the attribute in the Java class. Similarly, use JAXD notations to specify the namespace for the generated schema. Slide 21, please. An important thing to remember when you use a Java DOM is that JAXD is used to instantiate objects during rule execution. This means that it uses the default constructor to instantiate any objects used by the rule. You should therefore define a default constructor for the Java classes that will be used by the rule and make sure it is visible in the business object model. Also, if your current application uses non-default constructors to perform certain operations, move those operations to another method and invoke this method after the default constructor has been called. For example, in the initial actions of the rule flow. Otherwise, these operations will not be executed when the rules are invoked through a web service, because the default constructor was used to instantiate your Java object. As an ODM, you can manage the size of the execution object model by limiting it to contain jars that contain only the Java classes used directly by the execution object model. Slide 22, please. Now that we have designed the object model and rules using the Rule Designer, we shall see how to create a business rules service instance using the Bluemix user interface. Slide 23, please. We should use the Bluemix console for your geography, for latency or security considerations. For example, if you're in the Americas, you should use console.ng.bluemix.net. Similarly, we have a Europe and Australian Bluemix console. You can also choose to deploy either to one region or across multiple regions. Once you have logged into the Bluemix console, using your Bluemix account, you can create a space called dev, for example, for your development environment. Then you can navigate to the catalog tab, which is after the dashboard and solutions tab, and then go to the category web and application that you see on the left, and there you will see the business rules service icon. You click on the icon, which will signify that you want to create a service instance for the business rule service. Slide 24, please. You will be prompted for certain values to create the service instance. You can specify the dev space that you created earlier and leave the service instance unbound for now to any app. We will bind it to an app later. Click on the Create button to complete the creation of the service instance. It will be assigned an instance ID that we will see later. Slide 25, please. Once the service is created, you can navigate to it in the Bluemix UI and explore the different tabs. The Getting Started tab contains the documentation to guide you through various steps. The Connection Settings tab is the most important tab when you are dealing with using and executing rule sets deployed on the rules service. It shows the information you need to use the Rule Execution Server console. As you can see, it shows the URL, and you can navigate to the Rule Execution Server console using this URL provided specifically for your service instance. Use the username and password to log into the console and manage the rule apps for this instance. This URL is unique for this instance, and no one else can access it but you. Also, it contains information for that service instance, including the instance ID, which has been blanked out in this screenshot. Note that this page also shows the credentials needed to use the REST or SOAP execution API to execute the rules that which are deployed on this service instance. The last tab is the Decision Services tab, which lists the rule apps you deploy to your instance. You do not need to log into the Rule Execution Server console to view your deployed rule app. Slide 26, please. Now that we have created the business rules service instance, we shall see how to deploy the rules to the service instance. Slide 27, please. In the Rule Designer, as an ODM, you will have a rule project, and you will create a rule app project which references it. You will then create a rule execution configuration, a rule execution server configuration for your service instance using the URL and credentials from the Connection Settings tab, as we saw in slide 26. Then deploy the rule app to this configuration from the Rule Designer and make sure you also deploy the associated execution object model. You can also use the ant task res deploy for this purpose. Once you have done the deployment using the Rule Designer or the ant task, you can go back to the Bluemix console and navigate to the Decision Services tab of the service instance. There you will see your deployed rule app and rule sets listed. However, you might have to click on refresh if you do not see your rule app listed yet. Slide 28, please. When you click on the rule set name in the Decision Services tab, it loads the details page for that rule set. This details page shows the rule app it contains, the rule app version, and the rule set name, and the rule set version, which there is Vacations Rule App 1.0, which is the version for the rule app, Vacations Rule App Project, which is the name of the rule set, and the last 1.0 is the rule set version. You can choose the tab for the format you are working with, JSON, XML, or SOAP. Note the URL for this specific rule set version. You will be using it later to invoke the rule set. Note how it contains your specific service instance ID, which is blanked out in the screenshot, and also the geography you're using. In this case, it is EU. Verify if the waddle or the whistle is generated correctly for the rule set by clicking on the arrow on the lower right corner. If there are errors in generating the waddle or the whistle, you should reconfigure the execution object model and try again. Slide 29, please. Now that we have deployed the rule set to the business rule service instance and verified the whistle or the waddle generation, we will now test the rule set payload. Slide 30, please. As mentioned earlier, you cannot use the Rule Execution Server console to test the rule set. Instead, you can test the rule set payload from the Bluemix console, specifically by navigating to the Decision Services tab of the service instance and clicking on the arrow next to the rule set. You can see that in the last row in the screenshot. Slide 31, please. This brings up the test page for the rule set. You can choose the data format you are working with, either JSON or XML. The input payload is automatically generated in the decision request tab. Slide 32, please. you can populate it with sample values and click on the Run Test button. This specific rule set version will be executed by the service instance, and the response from the rule set execution will be displayed under the Decision Response tab. If you do see errors or an unexpected response, you should check the correctness of your input data, your rules, and your object model. Slide 32, please. Now that you have verified the rule set payload, you can invoke the rules from the client application. Slide 33, please. As mentioned earlier, you can only invoke rule sets using the REST API or through SOAP. If your application currently invokes rules through other means, such as rule sessions, DMS messages, or SDA services, you will have to modify the application to invoke the rule set as SOAP XML, REST XML, or REST JSON web services via web request. Slide 34, please. If you choose to host your client application on Bluemix, bind the service instance to the client application. In the Bluemix console dashboard, select your app, click Bind the Service, and choose the service instance you created previously. This will bind the service instance to the client application. Slide 35, please. If your client application is external to Bluemix, use the credentials from the Connection Settings tab for the service instance to connect to the service instance. Slide 36, please. When using REST, you first need to get the payload format for the rule set. You can do this by using the GET method with the rule set URL that you can get from the details page for the rule set. You can also get the payload format from the test page for the rule set, as we saw earlier. Once you have populated the payload with the input data values, you can make the execution request for the rule set using the POST method and make sure that the request body contains the payload with the populated input data values. Use the basic HTTP authentication from the Connection Settings tab for the service instance. Slide 37, please. Similarly, use the SOAP execution API from the Connection Settings tab to invoke the rule set with XML data if you're using SOAP. Also, you should configure the client application to process the response data, which will be in the same format as the input data, XML or JSON. Another important thing to remember is that interceptors are not supported, so design your client application to not depend on interceptors. The samples and tutorials section in the documentation for the business rules service shows code example of how to invoke rule sets. Slide 38, please. We will now configure rule tracing, which is disabled by default. Slide 39, please. Since tracing is disabled by default, and the rule sets that properties that are used for ODM cannot be used to configure tracing for the business rule service. Instead, you can add trace filter tags to your payload request. But you can see which tags are available by using a REST form, which generates tags related to tracing. In the REST form, you should specify the instance ID and the rule app version, rule set, and rule set version, all values that you can retrieve from the details page for your rule set. you can, if you're working with XML data, you will see tracing tags such as execution duration and execution date. These tags could be set to true or false by default, and you can configure the values depending on what tracing you want to see. Slide 40, please. Similar tags are generated for JSON data. You can add tags for the traces you need by setting the values to true to the input payload. When you execute the rule set with the tags configured to true, the response payload will contain the traces you requested. Slide 41, please. Another way to enable tracing is how you enable decision traces with ODM when using transparent decision services. This is done through the rule execution server console when you retrieve the WSDL or WADL file for the rule set. Tracing information that you might find useful includes input and output parameters, the rules that were run, the time spent on execution, and system properties information, which, for example, contains the Java version that was used at rule runtime. Slide 42, please. Next, we will see how to configure for performance with respect to the rule execution time, memory consumption, and web service response time. Slide 43, please. As in ODM, we can use the rule execution server console rule set statistics view to see the average time for rule set execution. In addition, you can use the execution unit dump for a detailed performance analysis. Slide 44, please. We will first consider performance from the aspect of improving rule execution time. Now, rule set execution time is the sum of the rule set parsing time and the rule set actual rule set execution time. You will use the same recommendations as for ODM to design the rule set to choose the optimum engine, to choose the optimum execution mode, and optimize the rule artifact design and configure the DOM. Now, in terms of the instances for the business rule service, you can use separate instances to manage the production and test environments separately. In the Bluemix console, you can create separate spaces for testing and production, and then create the instances in those respective spaces. Make sure that you deploy the rule sets for production and testing on the separate instances. If you have many active rule sets and rule set versions and note performance degradation, you can deploy your rules on multiple instances of the business rules service. In this case, ensure that your client application balances the load across the multiple service instances. Also, you should turn off or reduce rule tracing since that introduces an overhead in execution time. Slide 45, please. To reduce the memory consumed during rule set execution, you can optimize the rule set design, just like for ODM, and reduce the number of active rule set versions deployed to the service instance. So if you know that your clients are going to be accessing only the latest rule set versions, you can go ahead and remove the earlier versions of the same rule set. In addition, you should deploy only one rule set at a time. When a rule set is deployed, it is parsed, and that consumes memory. If you deploy a rule set one at a time, the memory can be reclaimed after the parsing completes. You should also reduce the number and size of the input parameter object. You can view the input object if you enable tracing and set the input parameters element to true for XML or the info input parameters element to true for JSON. For XML data, you can use tools from XML libraries to gauge the size of the XML object. Slide 46, please. Now, when you work with web services, performance problems mostly consist of slow response times for the web request. Sometimes, users might have to wait minutes for requests to be processed. So, you can gather diagnostic information from the Rule Execution Server Console Explorer tab under Service Information. You can compare the rule set execution time to the web service request response time to see how much overhead has been introduced by web services. You can also analyze how many concurrent clients target the web service simultaneously, and how often. If you see that the web requests are intermittently slow, this indicates delay due to the parsing of a rule set that was flushed from the cache. In this case, you should make sure that you have done a warm load of rule sets before they are actually used. In addition, you should reduce the client overhead and any networking and security overhead. As mentioned earlier, also increase the XML document driver pool size to the number of clients simultaneously accessing the rule set. By default, its value is 1, which can cause a performance bottleneck if more than one client is trying to execute the same rule set simultaneously. Slide 47, please. To summarize, within your ODM application, you can utilize the business rule service on DualMix to deploy and execute rule sets, to reduce the use of on-premises resources. Use the business rule service to execute rule sets that can be invoked as web services with minimal impact on performance expected by the user or the application. The rule sets and client applications might need some modifications. Also, you can use the service in a development environment to quickly validate rule sets and test client applications. Slide 28, please. 48, sorry. For additional resources, please refer to the documentation for DualMix and the business rules service on DualMix, and also developer works articles on using the service. In addition, Stack Overflow has frequently asked questions that you might encounter.
Thank you, Uzma, for this presentation.
Our first question is from Yang. Your line is now open.
I have a question. So for the HTTP request, if we have one billing records, how data to send, how do you handle this huge amount of data?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
So we have a huge amount of data, like a 1 billion records. How do you send over the HTTP?
It depends. It's going to be in XML. It's going to be through the REST protocol. or the SOAP protocol, whatever you use, but we do recommend that you try to reduce the size of the input data. So just because the data that's been generated by your application is being used, is very large, that does not mean that the rules necessarily use all the data in the XML. So what you would need to do is do some manipulation of the XML data to extract only the data necessary to be used by rules before you feed it into the rule.
Okay. I have another question. So how do you define the business class in your rule designer? Like the class property entities?
So the first thing you do is you define your execution object model, which can either be in the form of XML files, which define the schema and the classes and the attributes, or you go the route of defining your classes using Java. All right? Once you have defined this execution object model, you would create a business object model, which is based on this execution object model. So at the business object model level, all you will see is the name of the class and its attributes, but you will not see whether the underlying execution object model is XML or Java. At the business object level, you will also define English or other language phrases that will be used to write rules. For example, your Java class could be called, vacation request or something, but in the language it will be called a vacation request when you write a rule using it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
This we'll be doing using the Rule Designer, which is an Eclipse-based plugin. You cannot do this online using the Bluemix UI.
Okay. I have a third question. So when you're using HTTP request, you have an API, REST API, and how the client application figure out which API to use and how they pass the data to that API. It's all configured or what? Do you get my question?
Yes. So the client application actually decides how to invoke the rule set. You can use REST API. It can use it with XML or JSON data, or it can use the SOAP protocol to access the rule set. It's the client application that decides. The rule set is exposed as a web service, and it can be invoked through either REST or SOAP. Okay? So you can decide how you want to configure your client application, how your client application chooses to send the data. And depending on how it sends the data, that's the data format it will expect back. So if you send XML data in, you will expect the response that you get from the rule set execution. That will also be in XML format.
Okay, so the client application must know in advance that which API should it use, right?
Yes, you choose it, yes.
So when they call the API, what kind of response will they get?
It will get the response in the format that you send the request in. Except the response will contain the values for the output parameters of the rule set. You send in the request with the input values, and the response will contain the output values, but they will be in the format you send the input values in. So if you send the input values using XML, the output values will be in XML.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We show no additional questions in our queue.
There are no additional questions in the webcast, so at this time, we will conclude the presentation. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Uzma, for presenting. Y'all have a great day.